Yeah, this is fun because Jesus is alive. Our lives are, we're alive because he's alive. And our lives are hid in him. Praise God. You know, one of the neat things, Jesus left us a little thing. And I'm not one of those fancy guys. But I was doing cowboy poetry, and they told me there's certain ways. You know, they take us to these country clubs and these fancy restaurants. And I was just used to woofing it down and getting gone. That's not how we do it here. I said, well, okay. So they started training me. You know, they bring out 3 forks and 2 knives, and I was like, and then they feed you just barely enough to keep a bird alive, but they charge you a whole bunch of money. But one thing I figured out was there are certain things you do with your napkins. And they said that the servants watch what you do with your napkin. Now, if you just throw that napkin down on the table, you're done. And they come and pick up your plate. I figured they could. Then they're there right now. They get it up. But if you fold it, you're coming back. Jesus, our master, when he came back to life, he left his grave clothes. And the disciples came and found that empty tomb. They also found a folded napkin. He's coming back. He's coming back. It's going to be a glorious thing. Our salvation, our redemption will be completed in him. You know, there's 3 things you need to understand about salvation. You are saved. You're saved. Once saved, always saved. You're going to heaven. You are being saved. Salvation. See, we've drawn lines in the sand. You know, you got to be born again. You do got to be born again, but there's more to this thing than just being born again. Salvation, everything a man needs. I'm not done being delivered. I'm not done being healed. I'm not done being protected. I'm not done being prospered. I'm not done being cared for. I'm receiving all that now. And when Jesus comes and gets us, we will be saved. Our redemption will be completed. Amen? Get that whole word in one lump, and you'll see how a lot of these church fights have started. You know, but look, we believe on him. We believe on that resurrection. We believe on our risen Savior for everything that we need in life. Mary came to the tomb, and the tomb was empty, and she thought they stole his body. But his grave clothes were still there, just flat, just flat. One Jewish philosopher or rabbi, whatever he was going to try to prove the resurrection wrong. And in studying the resurrection, he ended up getting born again, the same way John did. John came running to the tomb, and he looked in there, and it was empty. And they remembered that, yeah, okay, Jesus had to die, and then he had to come back to life. People started getting born again. They started believing in his resurrection. But then they had to, you know, Jesus came back, and they seen him. They seen him alive. Praise God. There's some countries where if you get in trouble, if you break a law that's punishable by jail, you can hire somebody to do your jail time for you. Now, but you would always be looking over your back, wondering if your debt had been paid in full until you actually seen this guy. When John beheld and seen Jesus alive. And actually, Jesus walked through a wall. He said, Thomas, guess what? Stick your finger in the hole of my hand and stick your hand in my side. And don't doubt. When they seen that, they knew their debt had been paid. Completely full. And that's what we base our salvation on. Now, you know, everybody knows that when Jesus got on the cross, that well, even before that, he got stripes on his back at the whipping post. But then he went to the cross and he took all our sins. The shedding of his blood washed away our sins. What happened when he came back to life? We were justified freely by his grace. The minute he came back to life, we were justified. Now get a hold of this. In order for you to be justified, you first have to be judged. Your sins were judged already on that cross. And when he came back to life, he justified you freely. When you call on his name, you made it a reality. When you get a revelation of it, it becomes real to you. And then you know you walk with him because you belong to him. Amen? There's no judgment and no damnation to you. I get a kick out of the world. They say, you can read something on Facebook. Like the other day, we read something on Facebook about zinc and something else. So I went down to get some zinc. Connie wanted some zinc. I went down, and the grocery store was out of zinc. I went down to the dollar store. They were out of zinc. I went to Stone Village. They were out of zinc. The shelves were empty. No zinc. Somebody said, use zinc. But the world and the church is rushing to all these remedies. You know, the shelves that should be empty, months of bread. That should be the hardest thing to find in the world right now. We have an abundance of it. If you want some, just let me know. And grape juice. Why? Why? People are looking to man to heal them. You know, Jesus ran into a blind man, and the guy came up to him, and Jesus rubbed some mud in his eyes, and nothing happened. And Jesus said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. The pool of Siloam means a scent. He was telling him, go to the scent one. The minute he washed in the pool of Siloam, he got his eyesight back. Jesus showed us a couple things in there. You're not going to fix broken creation with broken creation. Remember when Adam sinned, it put a curse on this earth. That means that dirt is cursed. It's a broken creation. But yet we make our medicines out of this stuff that we dig up out of the dirt. We make medicine out of broken creation to try to fix broken creation. It's still doing the same old thing. You know what the definition of insanity is? Beat your head against the wall 10 times and then do it one more time just to see if you can find a better way to do it. Go to the sent one. Jesus is the sent one. You know, the really cool thing about Jesus is he meets us where we are. You know, on the Passover in Egypt, he told each family to take a lamb for a family, and take the blood of that lamb and put it on the header and on the doorposts. And when he goes over that house, when he sees the blood, it'll be a token to them, and he would pass over them. The destroyer would pass over them and would not touch their family. Now, he did not tell them, said, only if you're in super faith. Only if you've been reading your Bible. Only if you've been going to church. These guys hadn't been doing nothing. All they knew is that this guy, Moses, who used to be an Egyptian, not by blood, but by raising, and killed an Egyptian, and ran off out into the desert and turned into a goat herder, come back and did a whole bunch of signs and wonders, and he's going to set them free. Now, these guys didn't know nothing about nothing. So you got to know that some of them people were sitting under that roof saying, boy, I hope this works. There's been some bad stuff going on lately. I'm going to put that blood on there just because that's what they said to do. You know, some of them were scared. You know, some of them said, I'm going to do it just because everybody else is doing it. Amen? But he said, anybody that was under the blood would be spared. Jesus, he meets us where we're at. When we partake of his communion, he's meeting us where we're at. We can get our healing a little bit at a time, or we can get it all right now. It's okay with him. You can get a 100-fold return, a 60-fold return, a 30-fold return on that word. Here's where people get confused and they get kind of frustrated. They'll start taking communion, they'll start getting better, and they'll hit kind of a leveling off spot. They'll have a 30-fold return on that. Well, praise God for the 30-fold return that you got. Don't get frustrated. Just keep taking communion and keep believing God, and then you'll jump up there to that 60-fold part. Amen? And praise him some more for some more health that you got in your body. And then get that 100-fold return. Now, God ordained the Holy Communion not as a ritual to be observed, but as a blessing to be received, the blessing of health and wholeness. When you hold that bread in your hand, you're coming in touch with the greatest expression of his love, Jesus. Jesus, he didn't leave us orphans. He sent the Holy Spirit here to teach us and guide us. That orphan thing, where that came about, was when people would sit under a rabbi and they'd be taught by a rabbi. If something happened to that rabbi, if that rabbi died, they considered his disciples orphans. Well, these guys have been being taught by Jesus for quite a while, and he said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to send you the Comforter. See, Jesus could not send the Holy Spirit here until after he came back to life. And when he came back to life, he got seated at the right hand of God. And he became the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Not a man. Jesus. The Son of Man. He's the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Because he lives, we receive his blessings. Now, he is the the mediator of the covenant. See, when somebody gets a testament, a new testament or a new covenant, when they get this testament, it's a will. Usually, when somebody leaves a will for somebody, they have a lawyer. But Jesus left a will for us, and he became the lawyer for us, the mediator of that. Now, because he's alive, he's there to make sure that his covenant comes to pass in our lives. Amen? How does that happen? We look at him as the good shepherd, and we receive of him. We go to his table, we belly up, and we receive of his goodness. Amen? Next to being saved from hell and eternal destruction, divine health is the greatest blessing that we can have. I knew of a guy up home. He was a very rich man. He had a big ranch, and they drilled a lot of oil wells on his place. And a friend of mine said he went out there, and in that place you had to go out to the pit, and you had to, after they got done drilling a well, they had to suck all the fluids out there, and they go and liquefy all the tailings and suck them up. And he said he's out there up to his chest in mud getting all this stuff cleaned up. And that guy that owned that ranch come up there, and he said, "Son, I'd give anything in the world to be able to do what you're doing." His health was so bad that he couldn't even enjoy it. The church has made a practice out of majoring on the minor things in life. And then they let the major things go. A guy asked me, he said, "Why don't you teach on the tribulation more, the book of Revelation more?" And I said, "What's that got to do with getting born again and get to heaven? Is that going to get somebody born again?" And he said, "No, but that's the same thing my pastor told me." I said, "Then maybe you got to go get somebody born again and quit worrying about what's going to happen when you ain't here." Amen. Praise God. Look over to Acts chapter 10. Verse 38. One of the things that I want you to really focus on the word I say to you, you know, which was published through all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You're in that same boat. Because Jesus came back to life, he can say, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," because he sent the Holy Spirit here to be with us forever. Every step of your life, you can have the confidence to know that Jesus is right here with you. Amen? And he even showed you his nature, how God anointed him with power and the Holy Ghost, and he went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You know, it's kind of a funny thing about Jesus. He didn't walk on water all the time. He didn't still storms all the time. But he did heal all the time. He is always here to heal us. You know, we can take it one step further. And I was listening to Joyce Myers one time. She was preaching, and she said she had to go to a physical, and the doctor found a lump in her back, somewhere back there. And he said, "But that thing is dead." And she said she didn't even know she had been attacked, but she had been so focused on Jesus and taking his communion, and she stayed in that position of protection where something attacked her. It was dead before she even knew it happened. See, we can get to that spot. See, praise God, he's here to heal us. Just take it one step further, he is here to protect us. Amen? This COVID bug has the church world freaked out beyond measure. It's almost like they forgot Jesus even existed. Is Jesus Lord over the COVID bug? Did God really do this in verse 38? Did he really do this? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Ghost, and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Did he really do that? The church needs to act like it's true. He's alive. He's the God that healeth thee. And he's right here, right now. You know, the wind didn't blow him away. The COVID bug didn't scare him away. He heals all that called on him. Everybody that came to Jesus, that reached out to him, got healed. You know, he went to a meeting in his hometown, and they said he couldn't do many signs and wonders in there. I believe it was because people just didn't go to his meetings. Amen. But he healed in masses. He healed when he touched them. He healed when he sent his word. He healed everywhere he went. When God brought the children out of Egypt, in that great Exodus, he made sure that none of them were sick. The Bible tells us that there was none of them feeble. There was millions of them. Now, you know they were sick, and they were beaten on. They didn't get enough to eat when they were being held in slavery there. They didn't get enough to eat. They were overworked. They were beaten. They were downtrodden. So you know that there were some cripples. There were some that were sick. There were some that were maimed. You know, every kind of condition you could imagine that they could be in, that was them. But when God brought them out of Egypt, there was none of them that were feeble. They weren't sick no more. Remember, I always tell you, when you go into the Old Testament, look for types and shadows of Jesus and salvation. Now, before we got born again, we were certainly living in Egypt. Amen. We were without God, without hope. We were lost. Many of us were sick, downtrodden, crippled, maimed, lame. But salvation doesn't get preached enough. Born again gets preached. Thank God. At least people got a place to start. But salvation. I'm telling you that when you get born again, you can also be healed. Right at that same time. You can be set free. He can be delivered. Amen. Why? Because Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. One time he told a man, said, your sins are forgiven. And he got up, rolled his bed up, and took off. Why would he do that? Because his sins were forgiven. He found out he was in right standing with God. Which is exactly what happens to you when you get born again. That's what righteousness means. You're in right standing with God. Partaking of the Lord's body brings healing. The Bible gives one. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 29. You know, Carol, you know how to play some of that funny Pentecostal music? We could really get down. You heard some of that before, ain't you? Verse 29 says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Did you know the Bible gives only one reason why Christians are weak and sick and die prematurely? Only one reason. Only one. Because they don't discern the Lord's body. That's the only reason the Bible gives for people being sick and dying early. Because they don't discern the Lord's body. See, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he was telling these people, "You eat my flesh and you drink my blood, or you don't have no part in me." And his disciples, some of them that had been following him, they said, "That's a hard saying," and many of them took off. That is in John chapter 6, verse 66. Can you imagine that? The Bible's full of numbers, but 666, and his disciples took off. But when they finally got a hold of this, and they started seeing what Jesus was talking about, when you partake of his body, you're taking his life into you. These guys started seeing this. The man that's been raising dead people back to life. The guy that we've never, ever seen sick. We've never even seen him have a sniffle. He's been cleansing lepers. He's been causing the blind to see, the deaf to hear. I mean, this guy walked on water. He stilled storms. I'm going to take that life into me. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." That's the Zoe kind of life, that too much kind of life, that kind of life that doesn't get sick, that kind of life that thrives, that kind of life that flourishes, that kind of life that is a tree that's planted by the rivers of living water, that produces fruit even in droughts. He wants you to have too much. He wants you to have too much life. Why? They give it to somebody else, man. You can go help somebody else. You can go pray for somebody. Every time you go lay hands on somebody and pray for them, you're taking his life. It's coming through you. It's flowing into them. It's called the anointing. That's why he gave you the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so you could share that anointing with somebody else. You could share his life with somebody else. Truly, that's why we celebrate Easter. Or not Easter, Resurrection Sunday. I don't like Easter. I like Resurrection Sunday. Because he's alive, we're alive. And now we can go cause somebody else to have that life too. Amen? Surely, that's what he told the disciples. One of the last things he told them is one of the last things most of them do. He said, now, you go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Cast out devils, speak in other tongues, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That's the last thing he told them to do, and that's almost the last thing most of them do. But that's what we're called to do. Once you get a hold of it and realize that it's the Holy Spirit working through you, and you start doing some of the stuff, man, it is fun. Because then you run into these deals. You know you're not smart enough to figure this out, what the Holy Spirit is. And then you get to sit there and watch him do it. And then here's the really tricky part is these guys start thinking. Then you got to remember to say, no, praise God. He did it. Amen? That's the hardest part. Is these guys are really sincere and they want to thank you. And you got to be really sincere and turn them around and point them to Jesus. Sometimes I'll tell them, just don't even mention my name. Just say, thank you, God. Amen? Because he's the one that really does it. Remember John 14:12 said, you do the asking, he'll do the doing. And whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. So that's the one reason people are sick. They don't discern the Lord's body. So if there's a, remember that word I wrote down. Since truth is parallel, if we do discern the Lord's body, we will walk in health and wholeness. Doesn't that make sense? If we do discern the Lord's body, we'll walk in health and wholeness. That makes sense. We've all heard what not to eat. And about all these different special diets that we're supposed to be taking. It's good to eat healthy. You know, it's good to avoid a lot of the stuff that man has made. I like what one guy posted one time. He said, they're asking the difference between margarine and real butter. And he said, well, I trust a cow more than I do a scientist. God gave us milk from a cow. Amen? He designed us that way. That's the way we're supposed to operate. But don't put all your faith and trust in a diet plan or a vitamin regime. Put your trust in the Lord. You know, God gave a pretty healthy diet to Israel. And you know that a lot of them people were eating that Mediterranean diet. They were eating that. They weren't eating the stuff they weren't supposed to. And they were eating the stuff they were supposed to. Did you know that Jesus healed a lot of those guys? Because they were sick. That should tell you something. It's not the diet. It's the God. It's the God. Now we got that. Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Since we know there's nothing else that could possibly be as good as Jesus. And that since he defeated death, he defeated the grave, he defeated sin, he defeated sickness, he defeated everything that the devil ever come up with. Or to us, when we take his communion, Amen. We're going to do it on purpose. We're going to release our faith. And we're going to walk. Not only, there's some people that need healing. We're going to receive that. Some people are healthy. Then we're going to receive that divine health that keeps us from being sick. Amen. Somebody said, ain't you wearing a mask? I said, no, Jesus is Lord. Oops. Jesus is Lord. And He is alive. And He's still here. Amen? He's got this COVID bug handled. Matter of fact, He handled that COVID bug 2,000 years ago. Before COVID even existed. It's just part of the curse. Galatians 3:13 says that He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Our sinless sacrifice, Jesus, got on the cross for us. But before He did that, He took stripes on His back. And it's by His stripes we were healed. When He was on that cross, He got pierced. His body's been pierced. And then the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus on that day. When He took the sins of the whole world, He took the punishment that was meant for us so that we could take the blessing that was meant for Him. His body was certainly broken. We're taking this for our healing, our health, and our wholeness. The body is for our healing. The blood is forgiveness of sins. We thank You, Jesus, for taking all of our sins, all of our punishment on Your cross. You took Your blood and You applied it to us and You washed our sins away, and now we are the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of You. We can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive everything we need from You, Father, because of Jesus. We thank You. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus, for everything that You did for us on Your cross, in Your death, burial, in Your resurrection. And now, because You live, we live also. Because You live, our life is worth the living. Because You live, we can be in the Father's presence. And we know that You'll soon come get us. And we eagerly await this. Until we see You, we ask, Father, that You would show us how to operate in Your kingdom and cause Your family to grow by the day. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have snacks and we have coffee and fellowship back here. Everybody's welcome to come back.